Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. There are about 330 million people living in the United States and 12.8 million in Pennsylvania. Or are there? That's what the U.S. Census in 2020 is to determine. Plans for the census have been going on for years already, maybe even since the last census. And 2020 seems particularly important for everyone living in the country to be counted. But that is a challenge. An accurate count is especially important to states that rely on money from the federal government that is often determined by population. So states have set up their own outreach programs to encourage and assist in the census count, including here in Pennsylvania. We will talk about the U.S. Census in 2020 today with our guest, Norman Bristol Colon, Executive Director of Governor Tom Wolf's Census 2020 Complete Count Commission. Mr. Colon, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Scott, for having me here today.
Also joining us is David Britton, Local Government Policy Manager with the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development, the Governor's Center for Local Government Services. Mr. Britton, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at SmartTalkWITF. ITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. And any question you have out there, because I'm going to ask a lot of the basics about the census. Remember, we only do this every 10 years, so maybe there's something you have a question about from 2010 or 2000 that you're wondering whether it's on the form or a question that will be asked in 2020. 1-800-729-7532. Norman Bristol Colon, why is the census so important?
Well, it is extremely important for Pennsylvania for many reasons. First, it's a constitutional mandate that we must comply with every state of the union and the territories. We need to do this every 10 years. It's the largest mobilization mission in our nation during peacetime, and it's about counting everyone. First, it's about funding, fair funding for states that are allocated by the federal government. Depending on the size of the population. Second is representation in the most powerful chamber, the United States Congress, the most powerful chamber, I believe, on Earth. And then third is all about resources, the resources that the federal government can bring to states like Pennsylvania that we so desperately need.
You know, one of the things we hear most often about Pennsylvania is the possibility of Pennsylvania losing a congressional seat after the census is made. And one of the reasons is that Pennsylvania's population, even though it may grow a little bit, hasn't grown as much as like some other states. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, according to the numbers that we have, we are not losing two seats if we do a complete
two.
We are not going to.
Okay.
If we do an accurate and complete census count in Pennsylvania. But the projections are that we indeed are going to be losing one seat in the United States Congress, which means that from 18, we're coming down to 17. Our political power in the United States Congress, in the decision making of the agenda of the biggest economy on earth, will be diminished to 17 members. That also means that one member of Congress that is representing Pennsylvania today will be losing, you know, his job or her job, because that seat is going to be eliminated, and that seat is going to be transferred maybe to a state like North Carolina that is seeing a big growth in population.
That one seat, you say Pennsylvania could lose political power, that one seat could make a difference?
Oh, it makes a big difference, especially when, you know, the federal government, from the White House to the Congress, they are debating now on one of the largest infrastructure investments in our nation since maybe World War II. That means that the amount of leadership that we will have in the United States Congress advocating for Pennsylvania to receive funds, to receive grants, is going to be diminished to 17 members and other. You know, other states are going to have a more powerful voice in Congress.
Now, Mr. Colon, we talk about these kind of things every day on this program. NPR addresses these kind of issues every day, and we know that our listeners are informed and do care about what's going on. But does the average American care that Pennsylvania may lose federal funding or may lose one congressional seat?
Well, I believe that it is in the best interest of every single Pennsylvanian to really care deeply about what's going on if we don't do a complete and accurate count. For other states, you know, they are seeing this as a great opportunity for them to grow politically, political clout in Washington, D.C., but also to grow some additional funding that they may need for roads and bridges and schools and programs that are human services programs that support their own populations. But in Pennsylvania, we need to care deeply about a complete and accurate count, because that means that we can be losing millions and millions and millions of dollars. That, to tell you the truth, this is a reinvestment of our own money,
our own
that
tax
we are already providing to the federal government, and it's a returning our investment. It's coming back to Pennsylvania, and that's why we need to count everyone.
Mr. Britton, you are with the Governor's Center for Local Government Services and with DCED. So what about local governments? I mentioned, obviously, states have a big stake in an accurate count. What about local governments?
Yeah, that's a very big point that we're trying to stress as we move into the census here in 2020. A lot of one of my other jobs that I do for the Governor's Center is legislative analysis. And a lot of the programs that help benefit local governments, eligibility is determined by population. So, you know, we get one chance to do this on April 1st, 2020, and get that right. Our deputy secretary often talks about in his community, one of the lower income areas was not counted properly. So for 10 years, they were not eligible for CDBG money because that
CBGD?
Community Development Block Grants.
Okay.
It helps local governments in economic development and establishing infrastructure and so forth, so that the community is, you know, doing a great job in representing its citizens and providing services to them. But, you know, getting the numbers, the demographic information is important on many levels, you know, whether it's a business that's looking to relocate to see if there's a customer base there. What is the healthcare? Is it a growing area? Is it a declining area? Transportation, as Norman was saying about transportation funding, if it's an area that's growing, is there going to be new roads and so forth that is going to be needed to be built in that area to be able to support the demand of the citizenry there? Education, if an area is shown to be growing or declining, do they need to build schools? Are they going to have to maybe combine? All that kind of stuff is very important to know from a public policy standpoint in planning for the future, and to see, you know, where are these different communities throughout the Commonwealth going, and being able to plan accordingly for that.
A few things you just said there I want to follow up on, but I would guess that there are many people who don't realize that school districts use this census information, population information, almost as much as anyone out there to determine, like you said, merging schools, where students would attend, that kind of thing. And as we have a changing population in this country, in this state, that's very, very important to school districts.
Oh, most definitely. You know, in determining what their future enrollment's going to be, you know, how many schools are going to need, how many teachers, you know, what is their classroom size going to be? That's very, very important to know. I mean, what is your tax base going to be? If you have people leaving, you know, you got to be planning accordingly to that. All that information is very, very critical to a number of different organizations, both public and private, as to, you know, being able to plan, you know, for the future. For the last decade, Cumberland County was the biggest growing county in Pennsylvania. So here locally, that's, you know, something that they need to look at from a standpoint of government services and what's going to be needed coming up for the next 10 years, and making sure you get those numbers correct and accurate on April 1st in 2020 is very, very critical.
You've mentioned April 1st, 2020 a couple of times. Why is it important, Norman?
Well, April 1st is Census Day in the United States. It's the official day that we, as a nation, are going to be mobilizing the masses to make sure that we are counting everyone. However, that doesn't mean that is the day that everybody will start counting. The Census Bureau office is sending information to every single household in Pennsylvania early March, and individuals can start responding in mid-March to the census questionnaire as soon as they get it. So they don't have to wait until April 1st, 2020. But April 1st, 2020 is the National Unity Day of mobilizing and making sure that we are counting every single individual, not only in Pennsylvania, but all across the nation.
Right. What do you mean mobilizing? I mean, is it just a day for awareness, or is there actually something happening that would encourage or make sure that that we are counting?
Well, we have small local governments that are going to have press releases and events, festivals, community events in mobilizing the masses on April 1st, 2020 to make sure that they indeed fill out the form and they go online and they respond to the census questionnaire.
So awareness and education is very important.
That is the critical phase that we are in right now in Pennsylvania, and I believe it's happening all across the nation. This is the phase between now and December of 2019 that we have an opportunity to educate Pennsylvania residents of the importance of census, on how it is connected to our daily lives, on how it impacts school districts, local governments, higher education institutions, businesses, because businesses rely heavily on the numbers that we provide to the census. And something that David said is so critical for people to know, we only have one opportunity to do a complete count in Pennsylvania. We don't have recounts. Once we submit this information to the President of the United States, that is the only time that we have an opportunity to say these are the real numbers in Pennsylvania. And that means that for the next 10 years, we are going to be judged by those numbers. And that is, once again, funding, political representation, and resources coming from Washington to Pennsylvania.
David, you said that we know that Cumberland County is the fastest growing county in Pennsylvania. How do we know? If the last census wasn't taken until 2010, I mean, is it the eye test, or we know that the Census Bureau does estimates every few years, but how do we know for sure that Cumberland County is the fastest growing county in the state, in the state?
Yeah. Well, that was from 2000 to 2010, so we'll have to see what happens coming up in this census once the data starts coming in, but that was for the last decade. But they do, the Census Bureau itself, throughout in between official censuses, does collects data as to information, demographic, and so forth throughout the years in between in official censuses. So they do have some of that information coming in as well that they can use to provide to businesses, local governments, and so forth.
Who keeps track of, like, say, birth rates and death rates?
That is the United States Census Bureau in Pennsylvania. There are some partnerships that we have with the Penn State Data Center, in addition to, of course, the Pennsylvania Department of Health.
Mm. So even though the real big difference in the census that is every 10 years, it is supposed to be the most accurate, widespread count.
For the entire nation.
For the entire nation.
But they do the American Community Survey almost every year, making sure that they are following up and they have estimates. For example, in Pennsylvania, we have already some estimates that they have for 2019. And you can see that we are probably shifting from Cumberland County, and now one of the fastest growing counties in Pennsylvania is my home county of Lancaster. And you see, if you are visiting Lancaster and you are driving through the county, you see economic development going everywhere. You know, from industries and malls and fashion stores to restaurants and the tourism and hotels building in Lancaster County. And a lot of those decisions that are made, they are smart decisions made by business leaders, are based on the numbers that they get from the census.
They want to make sure they have customers.
Exactly.
The good location makes sense. We'll talk more about that, but one of the key words that David Brenton mentioned a few minutes ago, and that was demographics, and that has to do with that's one of the challenges that we're facing, we, meaning the nation, when counting, getting an accurate count. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. I want to tell you about some programs that we have coming up here in the very near future. Shows we're working on such as urban forestry, local pharmacies, and a new property tax elimination plan. We invite you to share your questions in advance by sending us a voice memo or leaving a voicemail. See what's coming up at WITF.org/smarttalk. Today we're talking about the 2020 census in the United States and here in Pennsylvania, the outreach efforts here in Pennsylvania with our guest, Norman Bristol Colon, Executive Director of Governor Tom Wolf's Census 2020 Complete Count Commission, and David Brenton, Local Government Policy Manager with the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development, the Governor's Center for Local Government Services. If you have a question or a comment about the census, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Let's take a phone call from Sherry in Union Township. Sherry, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, my question is about potential undercounts for the census. I'm sure everybody recalls President Trump had wanted to put that citizenship question in, which was found to be unconstitutional. And even though it's not going to be in, a lot of analysts say it kind of introduced a poison pill. With concerns that it will lead to undercounting in migrant and immigrant communities. And I'm sure, you know, everyone working on the census is going to do their best to make sure that doesn't happen. But let's just imagine that we do have an undercount of migrants and immigrants and maybe even just people in the broader Latinx community. What will that actually look like on the ground for Pennsylvania?
All right.
In terms of funding and so on.
Thank you very much for your call. And Sherry has hit on the issue that I'm sure everyone had in the front of their mind, because this issue has gotten so much attention over the last few months. And just to kind of summarize what Sherry was saying, it was entirely accurate that the Trump administration wanted to put a question on the census form asking whether the person filling out that form, completing that form, was a U.S. citizen. Now, a court struck that down. But as Sherry said, there probably are a lot of people across this country, especially those who are undocumented, who will say, I'm not going to participate in this because, number one, they don't trust the federal government. Of course, there's a lot of non-immigrants that don't trust the federal government with this information. But, Norman, what about that?
Well, one thing that we are working right now in making sure that we are educating everyone, the census call for states and territories to count every single individual independently of the immigration status. That means that in Pennsylvania, on April 1st, 2020, we must count everyone, everywhere, independently of zip code and independently of immigration status. Why that is so important? Because whether you are a U.S. citizen or not, you are using our roads, our bridges, our services, our schools. And for every person that get counted in Pennsylvania, we get $2,093 independently of the immigration status. We get $2,093 from the federal government back to Pennsylvania for services that Pennsylvania needs.
Okay, that being said, as I said, a lot of undocumented people in this country are going to say, I don't trust this government. I don't trust them for that they won't use this information to come after me and try to deport me or my family.
Well, I can assure those individuals that are listening that the census is confidential, is trusted, and every single individual working in the United States Census Bureau, they have to swear in under oath by the United States Constitution that they will not, under any circumstances, share any information collected by the census, not even with the commander-in-chief, not even with the president of the United States. And a person that break that sworn in, they will be subject to prosecution and to jail. So I want people to really understand that it is safe, it is confidential, and we must count everyone because it is in the best interest of every single Pennsylvanian that we count individuals, you know, on Census Day 2020. Why? I want to know who are my neighbors. I want to know how Pennsylvania is going to continue moving forward. In policy decisions, we need to know who's here, and we need to ensure that we are counting everyone. The challenge now for us in the Governor's Census 2020 Commission is to make sure that we are educating individuals, because that question or the proposal of that question did some damage already. Did some damage in these communities, and now it is our responsibility to ensure Pennsylvanians that it is okay, that you can fill out the form because it's going to be secure and confidential.
And if I could add,
go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, one other thing that we're trying to do as part of our undertaking here at DCD is get trusted voices in these communities, ambassadors for the census program, who can go out and explain why it's important to these communities, to gain, who are trusted in those communities, who believe what they say. So that's what we're doing as well. We're trying to recruit not only individual ambassadors, but organizations as part of this coalition to try to get an accurate and complete count of the census.
And if I may add, in the administration through the Census 2020 Commission, we have 45 commissioners that are trusted leaders from all across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in rural communities, in urban communities, in suburban communities. And those are the trusted voices that we are going to challenge so they can deliver the message to these communities. But in addition to that, we have the interagency cabinet work group inside the Census 2020 Commission. And these are all the governor's agencies, all the state agencies under the governor's jurisdiction. They have submitted a plan to us saying, this is what we are planning on doing to make sure that we are counting everyone in Pennsylvania. You know, we know that for the Pennsylvania Department of Aging, they serve 3 million senior citizens. We need to count every single senior citizen in Pennsylvania because we have one of the largest senior citizen populations
and
in the nation.
One of the fastest growing.
And one of the fastest growing. You know, it's expected that in the next 10 years, but when we finish and we get ready for Census 2030, from 3 million senior citizens in Pennsylvania, we're going to jump to almost 4 million senior citizens in Pennsylvania. So counting them, engaging the Pennsylvania Department of Aging is important. The Pennsylvania Department of Human Services, they serve over 3 million individuals. And these are, you know, from the public welfare and county assistant offices, they are fully engaged with us in delivering a message, in trusted voices, that when individuals are requesting services from these state agencies, that we are partners in ensuring them that it is okay to answer to the census questionnaire.
Norman, you said, though, that question, even though it's not going to be on the form, has had an effect already. How do you know that?
Well, when we are traveling across the state, you can hear from advocates, you can hear from immigrant communities, and one thing that I want to, you can hear it from pastors that are very concerned that their congregations are not going to be fully counted. You can hear in the voices of refugees and immigrant serving organizations. And one thing that our listeners or your listeners should know is that Pennsylvania is more diverse than ever before. You know, we have individuals in Pennsylvania coming from all walks of life, from all countries. This is a real melting pot in Pennsylvania today. We have in my home city of Lancaster, the refugee capital of Pennsylvania is Lancaster City. We need to make sure that we are counting every single refugee that moved to the city of Lancaster, because in return, that is a retaining our investment. And when we are talking about retaining our investment, this is money that we, as Pennsylvania taxpayers, already contributed to the federal government. We are just getting back what we already contributed.
I'm going to say something that you're going to think, I don't want to answer that question, and I don't even like to think about it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Wouldn't a state like Pennsylvania benefit from undocumented people not being counted more so because we don't have as many undocumented immigrants as, say, a Texas, an Arizona, New Mexico, or California?
I can say this. An undercount in Pennsylvania will have economic and political impact for for a generation, at least a generation. So once again, as I said before, it is in the best interest of local governments, county governments, and state governments to make sure that we are counting everyone. Because for every single individual that we count, is $2,093 that we get back to Pennsylvania in a period of 10 years. That person, whether it is a refugee, undocumented immigrant, immigrant, U.S. citizen, is contributing more than $20,000 to Pennsylvania's services that we provide to our population. And then combined, this is a $27 billion investment in Pennsylvania annually from the federal government. In 10 years, that is an investment of $270 billion. So if we want the Pennsylvania of the future to be a Pennsylvania that provides services, especially to the poor and to the most vulnerable communities, we must count everyone.
All right, well, let's talk about that because there has been so much focus on the undocumented population and whether the question should be on the form or not. But historically, with previous census counts, that there have been populations, demographics, David, to use your word, that have been traditionally, historically, undercounted. Legal immigrants, if I can use that term, people who are documented, who have lived here for years but came from another country, have been a challenge. Low-income individuals, people who are older, up there in years. How do you reach those people on top of, you know, even that question aside?
Well, I mean, that is definitely one of the undertakings that we're looking at, what we can do. I mean, we're trying to build coalitions. We do have some data that shows where those areas are so that we know going in that we can concentrate on putting resources in those areas to try and get those counts accurate from maybe, you know, the last couple censuses that maybe we have missed. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be one of our biggest challenges leading into Census 2020 is making sure that in those hard-to-reach areas that we are, you know, putting a concerted effort in to working with coalitions, working with local government, working with local organizations so that, you know, we know where those folks are and that we can get them counted for the census this time.
Historically, why haven't people in those demographics or in those life situations, why haven't they participated?
Well, I think it could be more of a situation. One of the things that happens previous to the census in 2020 is a program called LUCA, which is a contacting local governments, making sure that they have the addresses of all the residents and citizens that live there. One of the things that especially the Pennsylvania Data Center, who's our ally here in the state, each state has a local or a state data center that helps it with census activities, is that if you don't have an address on the sheets to go out and count those folks, they're not going to get counted. So that's one of the big things, is making sure we have addresses for those folks so that if they don't respond, we can send a enumerator out to contact them in person to get them counted. And that's part of the census plan that we're doing for 2020. So trying to alleviate as much of that as possible.
And we're going to talk about process here in just a moment. But James has a question that you may have just touched on a little bit. James is in Lebanon. James, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah, hello.
Hi, go right ahead, James.
Yeah, I just called a few minutes of your program, and I was wondering how are they going to take a census of homeless people?
Thank you very much for your call, and that fits just in with what Dave was talking about, Norman. Homeless people, I mean, we have estimates of the homeless population in Pennsylvania and across the country, but how do you count those who don't have a physical address?
Well, one of the things that the United States Census Bureau is doing in Pennsylvania, we have 9 offices already opened all over and across the state. They have been engaging what they call a partnership individuals that are local partnership, that those partners are identifying the homeless population. They are identifying the undocumented immigrants. They are identifying the college students, and they are identifying the senior citizens. And one of the things that they are, you know, in my job with the U.S. Governor's Census 2020 Commission, is creating partnership for individuals to go and fill out the census at public libraries, for example, at the faith-based organizations. So we are going to make sure that we are counting the homeless community, but it's, like David said before, it's by engaging the local voices, trusted individuals, that they can lead us to where the homeless population is, and then we can count them there.
Yeah, working with social service organizations that help, feed those folks who maybe find shelter for them, you know, reaching out to those in the communities who know where they are so that we're getting an accurate count is one of the things that we're efforting with our activities here in the census.
And I thank the caller for asking that question, because we need to make sure that we are also counting the homeless population in Pennsylvania, that unfortunately is growing, and that is a challenge that we have. And for the listeners that are listening to the show right now, please know that this is the first census that is online, that you can respond online, the first time in the history of our nation. But individuals can decide. They can do it online, they can do it by paper, or they can do it by phone. It will be, you know, we are recommending individuals, if you have the ability to go online, do it right away. But if you are not so trained to do this kind of work online, you can also do it by phone and by paper.
David, what are you going to say?
No, I was just going to agree with you.
Yeah. Okay, but many homeless people, unless it's in a library, for example, or, you know, I don't know, an organization or a place where they go to sleep or for food, don't have access to a computer for the most part. So I would think that is a particularly difficult population to count. Let me ask this question. How does a homeless person benefit from an accurate census count?
Well, you know, the money that is provided to the state, which is in the $27 billion that go to different programs, that go to public assistance, housing, social services, Medicaid, Medicare. I believe that for a homeless person, if they go to any hospital to get any treatment, that is already census dollars that are put into place for individuals like a homeless in Pennsylvania.
You mentioned college students. Where are college students counted? Their home or the campus and where they live?
That is a great question. And we were debating this at the beginning of the year. College students are going to be counted where they are on Census Day 2020. And especially that is so important for Pennsylvania. We have some of the best institutions of higher learning, some of the best colleges and universities. So we are counting those college students right here in Pennsylvania, whether their primary home is in Florida or California. If they are here on Census Day, they will be counted in Pennsylvania.
What day of the week is April 1st?
I'm not sure.
Do you know why I'm asking that question?
I turned my phone off.
What if it's a Saturday? What if it's a Saturday and the students are home? All right, maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but if you're telling students wherever you are on April 1st is where you'll be counted.
Scott, you just asked the most difficult question.
It is my mom's birthday. All right.
On April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many April Fool's jokes are you going to get about this?
Yeah.
I'll ask someone, Meredith, will you check to see what day of the week? And I know that's a bit of a stretch for all the challenges you're facing, but I was just talking about people who will take that literally. Mm-hmm. Of the day of the week in which will be. We'll talk more about the process and especially what Norman just mentioned there about being able to do the census form online this year, coming up in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Coming up on tomorrow's program, the president of Millersville University will be here tomorrow, and we'll also be talking about library funding. Actually, two topics, two parts of conversation that can relate to what we're discussing today, which is the 2020 census in the United States and here in Pennsylvania. Our guest today, Norman Bristol Colon, executive director of Governor Tom Wolf's Census 2020 Complete Count Commission, and David Brenton, local government policy manager with the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. All right, yeah, you mentioned that for the first time, those who are participating in the census can do it online. But I want to take a step back. What is the process? What can everyone expect, and in what form, and what are they to do?
Well, the timeline that we have from the 2020 census operational timeline is that right now there is a full implementation of the communication program that they have. Partnership specialists are in already creating partnership with the local governments, community-based organizations, libraries, businesses all across the Commonwealth. They have, if you see anyone right now going into your communities, they must be identified as census workers, and they are conducting infill address canvassing right now all across the state. So don't be alarmed. They are there, and they are official from the U.S. Census Bureau. If you want, you can ask them to show you an ID to make sure that they are legit, because we need to make sure that we are covering all the bases. But then in January, between now and December, we're going to do the education and awareness because of many reasons that we need to make sure that we are targeting the hard-to-count populations. And the hard-to-count populations are English as a second language individuals, undocumented immigrants, the senior citizens, the LGBTQ community members, African-American, Latinos, Asian-Americans, but also rural Pennsylvanians. So from now on, we're going to make sure that between now and December, we are educating and creating awareness in those communities. In January, you know, and it's very interesting, the census will start enumerating in Alaska. That is the only state that will start so early. In February, in Pennsylvania, we are going to start doing the group quarters. The Census Bureau is going to colleges and universities, and group quarters are those college students living in a dorm. So they are going to be doing the count, starting to do the count in their senior citizens living in senior citizen homes. And then the internet self-response begins early March. So individuals can start doing the internet response in March. Census Day, one again, is in April 1st.
Which is a Wednesday, by the way.
It is Wednesday. It is a Wednesday. So it's a good.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's right in the middle of the week.
And then if you don't respond, and individuals are going to get a card instructing them, this is what you need to do. Go online. This is the address. This is the questionnaire that you can see when you go to a public library, your own home, or even from your smartphone. You can do the response. But if you don't respond after so many way that we are going to be contacting you, you know, whether it is through WITF reminding you, the Census Bureau is sending information to individuals, reminding them to fill out the form. The community-based organization and the partners that we have, if we don't get a response and the Census Bureau look and they see that, let's say, Dauphin County, there is an undercount, the enumerators will be, there will be some follow-up, and individuals are going to be knocking on your doors to make sure that we get a complete and accurate count.
And speaking of follow-up, the Census Bureau is looking for a lot of employees to help with the count. So for those that might be interested in helping with the count and an employment opportunity, you can go to 2020census.gov/jobs. They're going to be looking for a number of enumerators to go out there and actually knock on doors come after April 1st, 2020. And with the low unemployment rate that we kind of had, they've been having a little bit of an issue with finding people to help them with that.
We'll put that on our website, WITF.org, by the way. Okay, so just a few things. I hate to put things out there that can cause some confusion, but I think it's important, Norm, what you said about asking for ID, because let's face it, there will be criminals, there will be scam artists who will take advantage of that situation, just like they do impersonating a utility worker or something like that. It probably is a good idea for someone to ask for ID if they don't present it right off the bat.
So, absolutely. They should ask for three things, especially if they see a census employer going into their communities. First is a federal government ID with the Census Bureau. They are going to have an iPad because it's so electronic. This is the first census that is so electronic. And then they should have a census bag with the logo of the U.S. Census Bureau. Those are the three things that you should look into. And if they don't comply with those three things, don't allow them into your community.
Hit the road, man.
Yep.
All right, here's
call the police.
Exactly. All right, now the other thing, online. First time that people can do this online. Again, what's in the news over the past 3 years of Russian interference in our elections? Are people going to feel secure? Is that information going to be secure if they are entering online? What's to keep miscreants from another country, even here in the United States, from creating a problem with those numbers?
You know, the National Cybersecurity Center is promising that this is going to be a very safe census, even when it is the first time that we have it online. But for the benefit of Pennsylvanians, we already placed a phone call to the National Cybersecurity Center so they can inform us on how we can better serve our community, letting them know that this is so safe. You know, it's very similar to elections. So we want to make
Don't say that, Norman. I mean,
we want to make sure that people are not scared, that this is a trusted federal government agency independently of the White House. This is an independent effort by the U.S. Census Bureau in counting everyone. And I want people to know that this is trusted right now. But in Pennsylvania, we already placed a call to the National Cybersecurity Center to make sure that we're okay.
Well, again, I inconvenience. We do everything online nowadays. Just want to make sure that there are not people out there who would try to do something with those numbers, use them for their own benefit, or to create confusion here in this country. We had a question here from a listener. Let me go back to this email that we received earlier in the program from Brian Lancaster. Says, aren't there vastly superior statistical and analytical methods to determine a population than household surveys? And what are the impediments to employing them? Or is this cutting edge, what we're doing today? It doesn't sound that way with paper forms out there, but, I mean, is this the best we can do?
For many in the federal government, this census this year is a cutting-edge census. It is for the first time that our nation is going to get the most accurate numbers. They are mappings. They are using technology to the best of our abilities. So I believe that as a government entity, not only we're in compliance with the United States Constitution, and we have been conducting census since the 1700, late 1700. So by now, as the most powerful nation on earth, we should know how to, to do the surveys in the best way possible. And I think that the U.S. Census Bureau is doing that.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the other challenges, other things that you'd like people to know?
Well, if those are interested in the different census offices that we have throughout the state, we have them in Harrisburg, in Cranberry Township in the western part of the state. We're going to have, there's going to be census offices in Allentown, in Norristown. There'll be two in Philadelphia, one in Pittsburgh, one in Reading, and one in State College. So, you can reach out to them if you have further questions with regard to, what's going on with the census next year. As well as, I think, too, getting back to the whole question of information, whether people can rely on filling out the forms and so forth to get to what Norman said previously, is that it is confidential and it is private, that this information is only used for the data itself and not individuals themselves. So you know, people should be able to trust this, and it is important that they participate so that we get accurate information for all the different reasons that we've indicated mm-hmm. previously, whether it's funding for your local government, whether it's making decisions for businesses, whether they want to locate in a certain area, schools, transportation, et cetera.
We have a phone call from Neil in Carlisle. Neil, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, thanks. Yeah, I last year I applied to work the census. I wanted to, I know the area real well here in Cumberland County, and I wanted to be a census worker in the field, and I went online, found a number, and they just never got back to me. I was wondering if you had any advice as to how to get a job for the census.
All right, thank you very much. The reason I wanted to have Neil ask that question is just kind of reiterate what you had said earlier, David, about those who are interested in employment.
Yeah, I mean, I would maybe go back and try reapplying. Again, the website is 2020census.gov/jobs. There is some screening that is done, and there is a process that you have to go through with regard to training to become an enumerator. But I would just maybe say try to give it another shot and see if you're successful that time.
And they have to fill out the information online. Every single census employee or future employee, they need to fill out the information right there at the website provided. But if they have any problems or any issue, please send me an email and I will connect you with the local census partnership specialist that they can provide that information to you. And my email is mbristolco@pa.gov. And I will be able to connect you with that person locally.
Okay. What are some of the other challenges that you face?
You know, it is interesting that when you look at the undercount in across the nation, the number one hard-to-count population that we have are children under the age of 4. Hmm. So we need to make sure that we are counting every single Pennsylvania child that is here. Many times, maybe for circumstances, family circumstances, they are staying with grandparents or parents are divorced and one weekend they are with mom, another weekend they are with dad. Or they simply forget that a toddler really counts as
a
person.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are the challenges that we want to confront, and we want to make sure that your listeners also know we must count everyone, whether they are 1 day old or they are 100 years old.
And on April 1st, because I can see some people saying, well, I'm due April 15th. Shouldn't I count my child? So April 1st.
On April 1st. Wednesday, April 1st, 2020.
You learn something today as you go forward, you know, what day of the week that is on. But, that's interesting that those under the age of 4 is the hardest group to count. And I would have to imagine that people, it's not like kids are free, eat free somewhere like at a restaurant or something like that.
You know, one thing that I would like to add, if there's anything that for the foundation of this nation, if there is anything that is so profoundly American, and especially in our democracy, that is not perfect, but it's the strongest democracy on earth. And I know that it is not a perfect democracy. There are two things that we expect from civilians. First is the right to vote. You know, that is so important, that is so profound, that is so American. And then is answering back to the census. Those are the two civic engagement opportunities that we can say we are in full compliance with what is expected of me as a citizen or resident of the United States.
So when should I have you on again to talk about this?
Maybe,
because you said about WITF to remind people, and the reason I asked the question is because, I mean, when will they need to be reminded again?
Maybe by November again, we can do another interview and bring some individual from the Census Bureau to remind Pennsylvania how important this is. Another thing that I would like to mention is the state of California is the largest in population, and they have the largest delegation going to the United States Congress. You know, we only have 18 members. They have about 55. The state of California is investing over $100 million in education and awareness to educate Californians about the importance of the census. In Pennsylvania, our legislature is investing $0. So we need to make sure that you know, we are going to do whatever it takes with no funding to count everyone.
Norman Bristol Cologne, David Britton, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, we talk with the president of Millersville University and also talk about library funding here in Pennsylvania.